Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones.
Not to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord.
Jesus said, "In an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." In today's message, Pastor Joel continues the teaching series entitled, Are You Ready?
So let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get started. Lord God, we just thank you again. We humble ourselves before you, but we come boldly to the throne of grace and mercy, Lord, asking you to feed us again, strengthen us again, Lord. We need another helping, another dose of your medicine to get us through. Yes. We thank you, Lord, for your insightful word. We thank you, Lord, for the message that you will give us today.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, sometimes the medicine is a little bitter going down, but we know it's good for us.
Yes,
so we thank you right now. Be with us today, Lord. Let ears and hearts ready, be ready to receive your word.
Yes.
Are you ready? In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 All right. So we're continuing with our sermon series. Of course, it's called Are You Ready? And this, of course, is a question that's being posed to every human being, not only in the church, not only in the churches, but across the world, across the globe. As you know, this recent coronavirus, or COVID-19, as they're terming it, is a pestilence, all right? And it has served to alert the world, okay, to the fact that we need to ask ourselves this very question. Are you ready? Are we ready? The reason is because the Lord has been calling all mankind to himself ever since the fall of Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, man has not listened, but instead, what we've done is strayed steadily and farther away from God. Mm-hmm. Things like wealth and technology, free thinking, and pleasure seeking. Those are the types of things that have placed a wedge between man and God. So mankind's interests and desires leave little room for God. We've left little room for God, if at all. And how ironic is that? Especially since it is mankind who needs to follow God's itinerary and not the other way around. Amen?
Amen.
So the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that many are perishing because their minds have been blinded. It says their minds have been blinded by the God of this age. And I want you to know that God starts with a little g and not a big G. That God is Satan. So Satan has blinded the minds of people in this age. Just as we discussed last week, the world has steadily and increasingly closed its ears to the voice of the Lord. God hasn't stopped speaking. We just stopped listening, you see? Now the Lord God has been speaking louder and louder to mankind, but sometimes we behave like spoiled children.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. We behave like spoiled children who regularly put on earphones, and we're so enraptured in our games. We're so enraptured in our Xboxes and laptops, and we pay no attention to our parents sometime, and our parents come in the room and they give us a chore or they give us a command and we just keep on playing. Then they give you another command and you say, huh, mom, huh, dad, okay. And you just keep on playing and you just keep on playing. And then what happens is the parent has to yell at you, hey, I'm talking to you. And what do? They snatch that game right off the wall. Then you go, why, ma? Yeah, well, see, that's what we've done. That's what we've done. God has had to snatch this thing out of the wall, physically and literally. Literally and figuratively, rather. He had to snatch it out of the wall. But the only thing is worse, because not only has society has proven to be spoiled, but we've been downright wayward universally. This is what the world has done. So not only has God ordered us to turn off our games, He's taken away our games, hasn't he?
Yes,
he pulled the cord right out of the wall. He pulled the cord out of the wall to our businesses. He snatched the cord out of the wall to your, from your stocks and bonds. He took away your entertainment. It barely left you enough room to take a walk. Amen?
Amen.
God says, can you hear me now?
Can you hear me
God now? Had to shut the games down literally and spiritually across the board. We need to see the world as a game board, but this is not a game. But we need to see it as a game board where God is shifting things around. Okay? So the term shutting down the board really means shutting down the globe. God has shut down the globe. He has shut down the world as we know it. And another reason we know this is no game is because people are dying.
Yes.
And that's no game.
Yes.
People are dying. But does the world know why people are dying? Let's go again in our Bibles. I'm going to ask my wonderful wife. You all know when I say wonderful, I mean wonderful, because there are only, because there's only one like her. And I'm going to ask her to read from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 14, verse 19. Jeremiah, chapter 14, verse 19. Can you read
Jeremiah 14,
for
verse,
us?
Jeremiah, yes,
please.
Jeremiah, praise God. Jeremiah 14, verses 19 says, have you utterly rejected Judah? Has your soul loathed Zion? Why have you stricken us so that there is no hearing for us? We look for peace, but there was no good. But there was no good. And for the time of healing, and there was trouble.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor. Mm-hmm. This excerpt right here in chapter 14, verse 19 of Jeremiah. They're asking the Lord, have you utterly rejected Judah? Do you hate us? Do you hate Zion? That's what they're saying. Why have you stricken us? And there's no healing for us. Huh? And it says that, and for the time of healing, and there was trouble. You're talking about a troubled people. Okay? It says they looked for peace and they looked for healing, but they found only trouble. All right? Now, does that scenario sound familiar? We need to think about it, folks. We really need to think about it, all right? But don't answer that question. Let's go instead to another text. All right, this one's found in Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 59. I'm going to ask Pastor to read Isaiah 59, verses 7 to 10.
Isaiah 59, verses 7 to 10 tells us, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to share innocent blood.
Mm-hmm.
Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting, and destruction are in their paths.
Mm-hmm.
The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever takes that way shall not know peace.
Amen.
Keep going.
Yeah,
therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness.
All right. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Do you hear that, folks? Do you hear what's going on? How about that passage? We see a people who were so filled and occupied with evil and sinful behavior. The Bible says that their feet ran to evil. They were rushing to evil. They had their tennis shoes on, running to evil.
Yes.
Physically and spiritually. I wonder if we're seeing that these days. Do we run to evil? Have we spent our lifetime partying? You know, as the song says, my girl wants to party all the time.
Help
Are we running to evil in different
Lord.
Things
Help
like
us.
That? The Bible says their feet ran to evil and their thoughts were thoughts of iniquity, which is wickedness, okay, and unrighteousness. And notice in verse 8, I want you to notice, the Bible says they made for themselves crooked paths. They made for themselves crooked paths, and then it explains that whoever goes down that way, that is to say, whoever takes that crooked path,
mm-hmm.
shall not know peace.
Mm.
Okay? As a lesson in that. Okay? That phrase, crooked paths, reminds me of another note in the Bible in Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verses 14 and 15, it says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Mm-hmm. It says, do not walk in the way of evil. It tells us to avoid it.
Avoid it.
Do not travel on it. Turn away from it, mm-hmm. and pass on.
Yeah.
That's what the Lord says. If you're going down the wrong path, he said, don't even get on that road. Mm. He says, turn away from it and move on.
Turn away.
Do an about face. Mm. Do a detour, mm-hmm. and go the other way. And that brings to mind another verse. And you all know this one, I'm sure. Matthew 7:13, which says what? Enter by the narrow gate.
It's the narrow gate.
For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go that way. But the Lord said, don't go that way.
Don't go that way.
Turn away from it. So we see that the people of Israel, that's what they were doing. They weren't turning. They were going the way of evil. And we don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. These texts come to mind because they're all telling us about not choosing the wrong way. Don't choose the crooked path, because if you do, you're going to be sorry. Mm-hmm. Because it only leads you away from God. Whatever the path is, and you know what? Different human beings have different paths that they're following. Mm-hmm. Your crooked path might be different from somebody else's crooked path. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's why we got to go the way of the Lord.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. You'll have no peace. Now, you might think you have peace for a while. You may have a P-I-E-C-E, mm-hmm. of P-E-A-C-E. But after a while, you'll have no P-E-A-C-E. No. I want to make that plain and clear right now. Some people have been in their sin so long, and they love it. Okay? They love it. Hmm. Whatever it is, fornication, running around, all kinds of immorality, cheating people, running illegal businesses, drug dealing, whatever the case. You may have money and you may think you have security, but that's false security. Mm. Sooner or later, you're going to have no peace.
No peace.
No peace. That's what it's saying. So go the other way. Now let's do this. Let's go back to Isaiah 59:8. In reference to the people of Isaiah's days and times, it goes on to say that justice as well as righteousness escapes them. So either it escapes them or they can't find it. Okay? Because as it says in verse 10, they become blind to their sins.
Mm-hmm.
They become blind to their sins. They practice evil for so long that you see they become accustomed to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And ultimately, they basically wound up painting themselves into a perpetual corner of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever painted a room or mopped the floor, and before you know it, you couldn't get out because you mopped yourself into a corner? Well, that's what Satan does. He gets in you and he mops yourself into a corner. Mm-hmm. He's got you into a corner of sin. So and that's where the world is now. We've painted ourselves into a corner of sin. That's what we've done, okay? So the paths taken in society of our day were so crooked, okay? Back in their day in Israel, the paths were so crooked for such a long period of time that they simply were going round and round, traveling the same roads of sin. They were doing the same things.
Mm.
These were unending roads of sinful, idolatrous behaviors. Uh-huh. And here's the heartbreaker. This is really going to get you. You said, I'm poor Israelites. Well, guess what? That's exactly what's happening in and around and throughout the world today. Not just us here in America. Everywhere else.
All over the world.
America has led the world in technology and being a country that is strong and reasonable and productive. I don't know if the world is taking after us or not, but I know that we're slipping. I know we're slipping, and in the country and the world has slipped as well. And let's look at another relevant bit of scripture, which also confirms how going the opposite way of God leads to a wellspring of unrighteousness. Let's, Pastor, take us to Isaiah 57, and let's go to verses 20 and 21.
Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, mm-hmm. tells us, But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest.
Listen to this one, you all.
But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt, mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked.
Oh,
there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked.
Thank you, Pastor. Now, this is a very, very, very apropos or appropriate text for what we're talking about now. This text compares the wicked, you see, the wicked to the image, an image of a troubled sea. Huh? If you're in wickedness, you're like a troubled sea or an ocean, which is never truly at rest. You see? When you look at the sea and the waters appear calm on the outside, calm on the top, there's something brewing at the bottom. There's things moving around at the bottom. You just don't know how great the wave is going to come before it exhibits itself at the top. You see what I mean? So although it's still on the top, that's what's happening. So this comparison that the Lord has put in the Bible, even when the water appears to be settled, all of a sudden out of nowhere, that's what he's saying, rumblings from deep within. They can come up and cause the water to roll and cause the waves to start rolling and foaming up, throwing up mire and dirt and refuse. That's what this is saying. Now watch this. In that same manner, there are wicked people who, just like a troubled sea, are stirred up and driven by the rumblings, by the rumblings and the quaking of their desires, causing perpetual disobedience to God. That stuff bubbles up, okay? They therefore are at the mercy of their own fleshly desires. So society had fallen into the mercy of its own desires, huh? And we don't even see it. So as you can guess, peace is going to escape you when that happens. You're not going to know the way to peace because you can't see peace. You ask for peace, but you keep going back to dirt.
Yes.
See, that's what it says right here when he says it brings up mire and dirt. You see, that's the thing about sinning, friends. The more you do it, the more at ease you become doing it. That's what it is. That means you've begun to practice sin. That's why God rejects those who practice sin. When you practice something, I've told the congregation this time and time again, when you practice something, that means you get good at it. If you practice cooking, you get good at cooking. Huh? If you want to be a good house builder, you practice laying mortar and brick and mortar and brick and mortar and brick, and you get good at it. You learn how to scrape it and level it just right. Huh? Well, when you sin, you wind up practicing it. You're doing it so much that you become accustomed to it. You're an expert sinner. Well, society has become a society of expert sinners. The world is a world of expert sinners because we practice it.
Help us, Lord. Help us.
That's what this is saying. Don't get mad at me. This is what the Word is saying. I'm just articulating it through the Holy Spirit who's given it to me. You see, when you do something all the time, that means you're practicing it. Pretty soon it becomes second nature. And guess what? It's all you know. Because that's all you do. That's what this is saying. Okay? After all, the old saying, practice makes perfect. I know you all have heard of that. That's what we're talking about. Practice making perfect. But it'll never be perfect unless it's perfectly righteous in the eyes of God. And the only way you can be have the perfection of righteousness is to have the God of righteousness in you. And that's what the world doesn't know. We got to get to that. Because listen, God is not going to allow his people to remain in the habit of practicing sin. Especially if you intend to call yourself a child of God. A child of the King? Oh, no. Again, just think back to your day when... Well, I'm going to go back to my day because I'm probably older than you all were. In our day, if there's anybody my age or older, you're baby boomers. In our days that I remember, when parents were still allowed to raise their children the right way, which meant that the right way included disciplining your children. Do y'all remember that? Remember how our mothers and fathers would find us acting out sometimes and they would confront you and they would look at you so sternly? All they had to do was give you that look. And when they gave you that look, that was enough to get you right sometime, wasn't it? Just that look alone will get you right. And then they say something to you like, no child of mine is going to behave like that and live in this world. Huh? No child of mine is going to behave like that and live in this house. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you really act it up, they leave off in this house and just saying, no child of mine is going to behave like that and live. You remember that? That's right. Okay.
Familiar.
Sound familiar, Pastor Alisa? No, we were raised up in the same neighborhood. We knew each other's parents. All the while, that parent would walk you down and they had an ironing cord around their wrist. My mother was the sweetest lady. She was the epitome of a little round grandmother, soft and pliable. But I'm going to tell you what, when you act up, the little, we called her the guinea pig. I told you that because she had little fat cheeks and a little, you know, a little pointy nose. But she would wrap that thing around her wrist and she'd come at you and she'd walk you down. You could back up and run and she'd just walk you down. And all of a sudden that little old lady would turn into something else and her voice would change. Now here we are on the south side of Chicago and she would say, I gotta cut the blood out of you. I said, what did she say? And how is she talking? She said, oh, I've gotta cut the blood out of you. You know what she said? If you didn't hear me, I'm gonna cut the blood out of you. But it was like she wasn't from America anymore. It's like, I'm gonna cut the blood out of you. And she, from down south, now all of a sudden she sounded like somebody from Belfast, Ireland. I'm gonna cut the blood out of you. And she would say that, and it was just, you didn't know whether to pass out. You ain't gonna pass out or pass something out. That's what would happen because you'd be so afraid. And that's what I'm saying. No parent, it was scary because no parent is gonna have their child represent them and get away with that stuff in their house. You see what I'm trying to say? That's all I'm trying to say, okay? You could live in your parents' house being disobedient. Ain't no way, you could not. You were, especially when you were the child of that mother or the child of that father or the child of those parents. So then, we now, think about this. Take that scenario and say, now, we now are children of God, right?
We now are children of God.
And he certainly is not going to tolerate willful disobedience and sin either, is he? Mm-mm. Huh? In his house. Mm-mm. And what is his house? Last time I checked, the Bible said that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 24 and 1. So that means that this whole earth is his house.
Amen.
He owns everything, lock, stock, and barrel, including what's in the house. How are you going to own a house and not own what's in it if it's really your house?
Amen.
So it's fair to say that this entire planet belongs to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Now then, let's go to another verse. Let's go and see what the Word of God says in 1 Peter 2:9. This is one that we like to talk about. We like to speak on this one.
1 Peter 2:9. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 2:9 and 10.
Yes, ma'am.
But you are a chosen generation. Huh. You are a chosen generation.
Well, we like that, don't we?
I love it. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. I feel special
don't
already.
Don't you feel special?
That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Thank you. What a wonderful, wonderful scripture. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people.
Amen. Amen. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. We appreciate your partnership and financial support. All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow him. Thank you for choosing to fellowship with us today. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Listen, while you're there, connect with us. Like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. In need of prayer or encouragement? We're here for you. Call 707-759-5244. Join us for our weekly Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. Walk with us through the Bible Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks again for tuning into Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for the continuation of Are You Ready? With Pastor Joel. Until next time. God is here.